The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Welcome to the 81st episode of The Simple Sophisticate. I'm so happy you can join me this morning. We're continuing on our theme of the how of happiness. Last week, we dove into the 8 specific ways you can cultivate a happier everyday life. And today, we're going to touch on another way you can really build a sound foundation for a happy way of living. But before I get into that, a quick hint as to what this week's petit plaisir is. It is a recipe that some of you caught a glimpse of on my Instagram feed earlier this week. And it's something that immediately caught my eye when I saw it. And I said, I've got to try this. And it was just one of those right after work, I was hungry, but I needed something for dinner. But I also wanted to cook just to have that relaxing time at the end of the day. I rushed to the grocery store, picked up the ingredients. And let me tell you, this recipe did not disappoint. It will definitely be a recipe that you could easily make no matter how skilled or novice you are in the kitchen. So I look forward to sharing that with you at the end of today's episode. All right, back to the topic of today. We are going to focus on the difference between strengths and skills. There is a very important difference, and that is what we're going to talk about today. For example, in an effort to get to know a candidate for a job, the question commonly asked, regardless of the career field, is, what are your strengths? Share them with us. As well, when working with a life coach, perhaps, to help determine your best direction, the same question will be brought up. What do you think your strengths are? They may ask. But what does the word strengths pertain to? And how can determining its definition help us clarify with certainty the direction we should take in our lives to improve the quality and overall happiness? Both of those questions will be answered here today. Last week, and for the entire month of January, as I mentioned, the how of happiness has been the focus. And a discovery I made while walking my dogs particularly brought me to the topic of today. I was listening to a podcast I had just found. This was at the end of December, and I've been listening to it ever since. And it's called the Positive Psychology Podcast. A bit of alliteration there, but it's fantastic. It's not too heavy-handed on the psychology lingo, but at the same time, you're learning from a doctoral student from Switzerland who knows of what she speaks. Keeping what she talked about in mind, the difference between strengths and skills, I wanted to dig further. And so I read Authentic Happiness, which was a source for my previous episodes in January by Martin Seligman. The word strength and skill are both talked about in her podcast on a specific episode, and I'll have a link to that on today's show notes, as well as in multiple chapters in Authentic Happiness. So let's talk about the difference between those words, strengths and skills. The words strength and skill are often incorrectly believed to be synonymous, when in fact they are very different. As I alluded to in last week's episode about 18 specific ways to cultivate more happiness in your life, strengths are those innate abilities, those abilities you're born with, your curiosities, your passions, those things within you that don't need to be put on your to-do list. To put it more specifically, strengths will be with you for a lifetime and have been with you in some way, shape, or form since you were a child. Let me outline specifically the difference between strengths and skills. A strength, as I mentioned, is a lifetime. It will be there from beginning to end. If you are conscious and you are starting to just tap into what bounces around your mind and what piques your interest, it will be with you your entire life, as opposed to a skill which can be taught, but also forgotten if not practiced consistently. Back to strengths. It's a talent. It comes naturally to you versus a skill. You are striving to hone an ability that the culture applauds. So whether you're in the United States and they're applauding being independent or maybe you're in sports and aggressive and that's not innately you, but you're honing yourself to become that way, that is a skill, not a strength. Even though you may become very proficient at it with a lot of practice. We're not saying skills are something you can't be as amazing in as your strengths, but we'll get more to that later. But the idea is skill is something that doesn't come naturally, but you have to work at it. Here's an example of a strength. You have an eye for detail. You are a keen observer of the details in life. You just notice little things. Call yourself Angela Lansbury. Call yourself Hercule Poirot. Whatever it is, it comes innately to you. Versus a skill, you can learn how to speak French and become fluent with practice. But it's not something you come out of the womb knowing how to do. It doesn't come naturally unless you're taught it. You may have a profound passion for it, but it is not something that you know how to do innately. Okay, so hopefully we're clear on the differences between strengths and skills. Now, when I heard this on the podcast, this is the Positive Psychology Podcast, I pretty much stopped in my tracks on my walk, and it was just a huge aha. I've had a lot of talks with myself primarily, but with other people about, and this is not so much today, I'm pretty clear about my direction now, but in the past, and I used to say, well, I'm a jack of all trades. I can do anything if I apply myself. Skill. But what are your strengths, Shannon? What are your strengths? And it took me some time. It's not something that we always know, and I'll talk more about that here in today's episode, how to really tap in and make sure we do know what they are. So using myself as an example, after 14 years of teaching, there are many skills that I have honed, for example, classroom management. However, my strength, something that comes more innately to me, of social intelligence, which is defined as being aware of the motives and feelings of others, most likely helped me become more proficient in the skill of classroom management. Having read Dr. Siegelman's book, Authentic Happiness, and I took the 24 questions, multiple choice quiz that he has within that book, it helped me to identify my strengths. And what I discovered in specific concrete terminology is what I innately knew were my strengths, but I didn't have the confidence necessarily to express them and say, yeah, yep, I can do that. That comes easier to me than these other things. And not everyone, I mean, not to compare myself to other people, and I'll talk about that in a second too, but the idea of not everyone has that strength, Shannon. Not everyone has that. Maybe that's something you should explore or invest in. And what I mean by didn't have the confidence to express comes from what I call the air of our own perspective. I see this often with my students, and I have finally realized it in myself. So let me explain. Because we know how to do something well or easily, we assume others must as well. That's the ignorant child. And I don't mean we have to be a child to not know this, but it's that ignorance. We just assume. I mean, that's the way we were raised. That's the way we do things. But it may be something that you just are very great at. I mean, you are just impressive at. You have an ear for particular music. You know how to find the rhythm in something. there's so many different things about kids, and you can observe them, and the kid has no idea that that is unique. That's why we have scouting agents for all those different things, but that's a whole nother issue. The idea is, are they also passionate about it? But that the key, though, is what is it that you are innately gifted at, and you don't even know it because you just assume everyone else must be that amazing at as well. Rather than assume we are superior at that skill, and that's a good quality to be humble, rather than to assume we are superior until someone points it out that we are, and it is brought to our attention maybe by some other means, a competition or an exhibit where people, it's on display and other outsiders who don't know us recognize our talents. We assume that if I can or you can do this well, for example, say, see the complementary textures in an interior design, surely everyone else must be able to as well. The truth is, we are often unconscious to what our strengths are. And it is only when we take the time to get to know ourselves, listen to ourselves, follow our curiosities and the opportunities that our strengths may make available to us that we realize exactly what our strengths are. So we really do have to be conscious and be paying attention to our lives. That's the fun journey we get to go on. And that's part of the reason, just to kind of a random tangent, but not entirely. This past week, one of my readers was sharing my episode, How to Live Alone Well. And she was going to be making a move to a new city and to living alone by herself for the first time. And I tweeted back to her, I'm like, I'm so excited for you. I mean, I don't know how long she's going to live alone. She doesn't know probably how long she's going to live alone. But what an opportunity. It is. My tweet was, enjoy the journey that it allows you. And I can't remember my exact words, but the idea was, this is going to be an amazing opportunity, amazing journey. Revel in it. However long or short it is, revel in it, because this is exactly what it will help you reveal your strengths. Follow those curiosities. You don't have to be in with your roommate or with your significant other. You don't have to compromise for this moment in your life. So take the time to get to know yourself. Take some time to listen to what pops up into your mind as ideas to do. So what are the benefits of understanding our strengths? You may be wondering. This ability, well, let me just say, I'll slow myself down here. The benefits of understanding what your strengths are, it's at the foundation of everything. This blog, and I think all of us, whether they found this blog or this podcast or not, knows, it's the ability to live the life you are working to create. It's the ability to live the simply luxurious life. It's the ability to tap into your potential and to find joy in the everyday, to be able to ride life's highs and lows with grace and eloquence without letting go of who you are, not becoming a cookie cutter of everyone else. That's what it is. That's the benefit. That's the benefit. As I continue to reiterate here on the blog and the podcast and in the book, my simply luxurious life will not look exactly like yours, thereby rendering the truth that your life, when you choose to live consciously, get to know yourself, take on challenges, and are willing to grow, even though at times it may be uncomfortable, will be unique to you. While my strengths, after having taken the test, are transcendence, courage and wisdom, and knowledge, yours may be justice, temperance, and humanity and love. Each of those six aforementioned strengths are the six pillars of the 24 sub-strengths that you will explore when you take the quiz to help solidify what your strengths are. Now, I can't put the quiz on the show notes. That would be copyright infringement. But I can tell you about them. And I will provide links to a handful of different blog posts from other sources that give you the outline of them. And there's different resources to kind of give you some direction. And if you want to find that book, Authentic Happiness, or check it out in the library, I encourage you to do so. Once you discover your strengths, what then? Dr. Sigelman points out in that book, Authentic Happiness, that there are three types of work we can be doing in our lives. Number one, a job. Number two, a career. And number three, a calling. Discussed in depth on page 168, a job is merely for the paycheck. It's done for the money. You need the money and you do the work. A career involves a deeper personal investment. This could be college investment. This could be intern experience. This could be any kind of training is required. You have to consciously choose to become skilled in whatever this career wants you to be able to do. It also is something where you are able to advance up the ladder and seek promotions and prestige. However, it is also something that you are completely fine retiring from once you felt you have done your best and left it all at the office, so to speak. It's okay to be done at 65 or 55 or whatever that end date is where you can start collecting your pension and then live and do as you please. That's a career, and that's a worthwhile thing to do. And so many people do that. So many people do that. Because sometimes what we love to do, what our calling is, a career hasn't developed and been made available to us for a means of sustaining our livelihood. And that's okay. A calling, though, is different from those two. A calling is derived more directly from your strengths. As defined by Dr. Siegelman, a calling is a passionate commitment to work for its own sake. And here's the catch. Being a teacher for one person can be a calling, while for another person it is simply a career. Or being a landscaper can be a job for someone, but for another it can be their calling. The difference is you. Your strengths will determine what your calling is. Do yourself a grand favor and take the time to figure out what they are. Your happiness is at stake. The important difference that I alluded to in the title of our episode is that when we invest in our strengths, the only return we are seeking is the pleasure of being immersed in what we are doing. If we are practicing a skill, we are doing it for a purpose, money, advancement, to gain something outside of ourselves that we do not have control over. And I find this to be a unique parallel, and it's discussed in the book as well. But let's think about love for just a moment. I'm not going to dive too deep into this. This could be a whole nother episode. Love, true love, is ultimately what we have for our calling. Otherwise, it's just lust. We want something else. If we're lusting after something else, we want something else so it can bring us something that we cannot reach on our own. Love, the doing, the involvement, is all that is being sought. And I want to encourage you to stop by and tune in February to the podcast or stop by the blog, because the theme of the month will shift from what we're talking about this month, happiness, to creating a social well-being of strength and compassion. And we will talk about relationships. We will talk about love and that whole concept of being healthy with the social relationships we build and invest in. Now, you may be thinking, well, I need to stay in my job or career because it pays the bills. It may not be my calling, but I have to stay there. I absolutely understand. And you absolutely should. Most people do. But as we know, there are people out there. I actually met someone this weekend at a book talk. The author was talking about his calling and when he got his calling to go do what he was destined to do. A very challenging calling that so few people do. But he knew it was, and he has been doing it for 25 years. But the thing about knowing what your strengths are, back to this idea of the difference between a career and a job versus a calling, when you give yourself permission to start spending more time in your free time, because you're working at your career for the majority of the day, when you realize what your strengths are, you can give yourself permission to start spending more time focusing on your strengths. Because when you know they are your strengths, you know that you will not lose interest in them in the future, which means the future is a blank page, and your willingness to trust yourself, the self that you have come to know, could lead to amazing opportunities. The better you become at your strengths, and you're the one who's passionate about whatever the world needs, that could bring you things you never could have imagined. Perhaps you will or are pursuing your calling full time. I applaud you. You inspire me. What an amazing gift to experience. But maybe it will always be a hobby, what your strengths draw you to until you retire. And then you can dive headfirst without seeing when you have to return to your career. Either way, you've discovered something about yourself that will open many doors. Strengths versus skills. Now we know. The key difference is one will make you excessively happy without having to look outside of yourself. What a gift. What a gift. For today's show notes, you can go to the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast81. And I'll provide links to the book I mentioned, the podcast I mentioned, and a handful of other outside sources you may be interested in as well. I do hope you enjoyed today's topic. I sure enjoyed and found great aha moments when I was exploring this one for you guys today. But before I wrap it up, we still have a recipe that is absolutely delicious to get to. I'll see you in just a moment with this week's petit plaisir. All right, as promised, I have a recipe that is quick and easy. You're able to do it during the work week or perhaps on the weekend and have a few fantastic other side dishes to really amp up the entire meal. This is simply a skillet chicken dish. And I found it in my local newspaper, but they pulled it from the New York Times from Melissa Clark. And it is so simple. The key is to get quality ingredients, as always. So this is skillet chicken with tomatoes, pancetta, and mozzarella. And it's recommended that you get bone-in chicken pieces, about 3.5 pounds if you're serving 4 people. Obviously, you can downsize that. I'll provide the entire recipe. So I'm going to kind of hit on some high points here, but the entire recipe will be on today's show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast81. Now, if you don't have bone-in chicken, as I did not at that particular day when I found the recipe, I had a bunch of chicken tenders. And I wasn't going to go to the store and buy bone-in chicken when I had perfectly fine chicken in my fridge. So I made it a little differently. It didn't take as long because I didn't have as large of chicken breasts or meat to work with, which actually saved me a lot of time in the long run. And the key is always tenderizing. So I made sure to tenderize it. Just took my meat mallet and smashed them to about half the thickness as they originally were. And the flavor was lovely, absolutely lovely. I highly recommend getting San Marzano whole tomatoes that are peeled in their juices, but still whole, so a lot of flavor. And pancetta can either get all chopped up already at the store, or you can buy it and slice it yourself. But it does give off less grease and fat than bacon. And it just has a fantastic flavor. And of course, you got to have your mozzarella. So get this as fresh a mozzarella as you possibly can. I hope you enjoy this. It took me maybe 30 minutes to finish this meal. I have a picture again on my Instagram feed, but I'll put that on today's show notes as well. There's something about working in the kitchen at the end of the day. If I have the ingredients or I have easy access to ingredients, it does help end the day on a fantastic note, no matter how the day went. No matter how the day went, because I can absolutely focus and just enjoy at the end of it, the creation, however simple or complex it was. And then you add a glass of wine and everything's fabulous. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this particular petit plaisir. It was one of my simple recipes that I thoroughly enjoyed. I hope you've enjoyed this week's petit plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast, where I'll recommend a book, a film, a recipe, or from time to time introduce you to an expert who offers insight into how to live simply, luxuriously, anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, stop by the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up the book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bonjour.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.